The Behind the Buy podcast features audio stories told by members of the federal acquisition workforce who have successfully executed best practice IT contracting strategies from the TechFAR and Digital Services Playbook to help their agency meet its mission.
Hello, I'm Ann Rung, Administrator of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy. And today for the administration's Behind the Buy audio series, we're going to listen to a former founding member of a private equity firm discuss assigning one leader and holding that person accountable for IT services. Chris Cairns recently served as one of the White House's Presidential Innovation Fellows for the Department of the Treasury and is now the Managing Director of 18F Consulting, which provides hands-on consulting services to federal leaders who need assistance in designing and managing software acquisitions using modern techniques. Welcome to Behind the Buy, Chris.
Thanks. Great to be here.
So tell me a little bit about your private sector career and what you did.
Well, sure. Before the Presidential Innovation Fellows, I was one of the founding members of a private equity firm that focused on acquiring and growing companies that primarily focused on the public sector. So it ranged from some consulting services and like supply chain to some actual like medical device products.
Now, what was your perspective of the government when you were in the private sector?
So I've actually been in and out of government a little bit, so my view is a little mixed. I really think that the people who work in government are incredibly innovative, passionate about the mission, and really want to do things the right way. I do think that the government has gotten behind the curve a little bit when it comes to modern practices and uses of technology, and I really think it's time to get catch up to some of those more modern ways of doing things.
Well, hopefully today we'll learn a little bit about how to do that. So in agile acquisitions, there must be a single leader who has the authority and responsibility to assign tasks and work elements. And you might argue that's the case for all acquisitions. And this person is ultimately responsible for how well the service meets needs of its users and which is how a service should be evaluated. So how do you assign one leader and hold that person accountable?
So there are really two parts to this question. The first is, how do you assign one leader? And then the second is, how do you hold that person accountable? So let me start with the first. When it comes to creating a digital product, you're really looking for someone who exhibits some of the following characteristics. One is, really has a strong vision for the product, is an expert in the domain, is capable of empathizing with the needs of users, and really understands the product management discipline, although I'd argue that this can be learned on the job from a good coach. And then the last one is capable of balancing and prioritizing needs of both the business and the users. Now, as for the second part of the question, the best way to hold that person accountable, I think, is to make sure that his or her performance plan reflects what the goals for the product are, and to make sure there are real consequences for non-performance. Now, keep in mind that the product owner can't do it alone. And so I'd say to really reduce the friction of to his or her success, other individuals in the organization who perform critical functions in support of that product should be held accountable as well.
Well, how do you identify a project owner in the private sector, and how do you identify a project owner in government?
Well, I'd actually say that the process isn't any different. So just along the same lines of identifying someone who really exhibits the characteristics that I just talked about.
Have you had any challenges in finding those people?
So at 18F, we work with a lot of clients where we either build a product or consult them on the acquisition and development of the product. So we've had a lot of clients where they've really kind of embraced this concept and done a pretty good job of assigning and empowering a product owner to oversee the product.
That's good to hear. And what kind of technical background would an ideal project owner have?
So I'd say as long as the product owner exhibits some of the characteristics that I mentioned earlier, he or she can be effective without a deep technical background. Now, in the same vein as empathizing with users, however, the product owner must be able to understand the needs of the development team. And what they need is an opportunity to craft a product that is technically excellent, which not only makes it a joy to work with, but reliable and adaptable as well. Sometimes this requires making priority decisions between working on a functional requirement versus a non-functional requirement. And in order to make those decisions, the product owner must understand technical practices such as automated testing, And I'd say, very importantly, the concept of technical debt, which refers to the consequences of poor quality code and design. Too much technical debt will really cripple any project.
And you often hear about how important quality project management is for acquisitions. So what is, in your opinion, what is an effective project management work plan include?
Well, I'd say in the spirit of the digital services playbook here, a project management approach for an agile type project is very different from a traditional waterfall project. Anytime you're in a situation where it's neither reasonable nor realistic to predict all the requirements up front, and I'd say in a lot of cases that is the case, then agile is really the way to go. So in this case, like, the project management approach needs to reinforce the principles of agile development, principles such as the delivery of working software every couple of weeks as opposed to months. And this is what you get by following methodology such as Scrum or Extreme Programming.
So talk to me a little bit about the team approach in Agile and why it's so important. And in your view, what is a team? What is the ideal team?
So I personally don't think it's possible to deliver like the highest valued, highest quality software or digital services or IT services or what have you without a cross-functional team composition. And that includes acquisition professionals. The government relies heavily on external vendors to provide the necessary services and products to build and deliver digital services, and that means procurement. At 18F, we strongly advocate procurement modularity by breaking an overall acquisition into many short-term, small-dollar acquisitions involving multiple vendors. And this often requires that the government play the role of systems integrator, which means continually developing, awarding, and managing acquisitions.
So as you've said in the past, the team approach can even be as basic as getting everyone together in one room.
Right, exactly.
Which rarely happens today, or does it happen?
It doesn't happen often enough, mm-hmm. right? I can't stress enough the importance of putting together a cross-functional team and then get them collaborating from the time the acquisition need is identified to the time it's delivered.
So what kind of organizational changes or other changes do you think are necessary to really ensure that the project manager has the authority and support they need to really be successful in implementing this acquisition?
So I'd say it really depends on the specific context of the project. Required organizational changes could range from a structural change to who can and can't make decisions. I would say something like healthcare.gov requires a very different organizational structure than something much smaller. I would, a whole program office would need to be set up. But I think that, the simplest, or at least the minimum change that needs to happen is for executive sponsors to make the project official and to constitute an integrated product team from different parts of the organization. That's typically done through a formal charter. And as I mentioned earlier, everyone who's central to the success of the project should have a performance plan that reflects what they're expected to achieve. And part of how individuals should be assessed is how effectively they take direction from or support the product owner. And this is especially important since people typically operate in a highly matrix environments, with different reporting lines.
Can you describe how a project manager would add or remove a feature from an IT service?
Sure, so I'd define a feature as a distinguishing characteristic or quality of a digital IT service that delivers value to the end user. Given this definition, which features to work on is really a decision that the product owner must make based on what he, she thinks delivers the most value with consideration of both cost and risk, and this is really the essence of prioritization. The product owner should look to implement and release the minimum set of high priority features that will generate a good return on investment. This is sometimes called the minimum viable product or minimum marketable features. In some cases, as the project progresses, it may turn out that the cost to deliver all the desired features isn't feasible as originally thought. So let's assume that the product owner could only release 20% of the originally identified features. It's very likely that the product will still deliver 80% of the desired value. So really the moral of the story is, the focus on priority features first. And one additional point, if there's evidence that a feature isn't delivering value or is no longer necessary after the digital service has been up and running, remove it. Every line of code that adds complexity makes the software more and more difficult to work with.
Is it your sense that today, for the vast majority of IT acquisitions, we may take the opposite approach, where we have a whole, we don't really prioritize, we just sort of try to implement the maximum set of.
I would say, they're typically in, and it just definitely is kind of, I think, a consequence of following waterfall type processes. You try to define all the requirements up front and predict everything that you'll need, and then it's a matter of trying to, as the build the product up, going through and checking off each requirement that was built, as opposed to really focusing on what are the most valuable ones first.
Right, and setting a minimum and then scaling up or building up over time, as opposed to trying to scale it down.
Right,
or
retreat
back from what you originally described. So how essential is succession planning for accountability leaders? Are you seeing succession planning being implemented in these acquisitions or in these organizations?
Yeah, so I mean, really to minimize impact, you should always have someone on the team, you know, if possible, who can perform the function of the product owner. At least on an interim basis, you know. After all, you know, product owner is no different from any other government employee. You know, need to take time off, you know, sometime during his or her tenure in that role. As I mentioned earlier, you know, you really want to pick your next product owner based on the characteristics that are critical to performing that role well. I think from an organizational standpoint, agencies should really like systematically start to develop a cadre of individuals who can perform the product owner functions. These are really exciting positions that I think will attract some of the best talent. In a lot of cases, folks will see that as a career stepping stone. And having a pool of qualified product owners will certainly minimize the impacts of potential turnover.
This is something that GAO has cited a number of times. Really, the turnover in, you know, your acquisition team, your core acquisition personnel, and the impact it can have on an acquisition. And certainly make it more high risk. And so I think succession planning, while not talked about a great deal, is a really important component of this. So thank you, Chris, for sharing your public service story. Behind the Buy welcomes innovation and collaboration from both industry and government to highlight best practices in federal IT procurement. We want to hear about your experience to increase the awareness and adoption of proven techniques. Please share your experiences and learn from your peers by visiting buyersclub.ideascale.com and clicking TechFAR Hub Use Cases. Access curated expertise, prices paid data, and contract vehicles for categorized goods and services by visiting the acquisition gateway at hallways.cap.gsa.gov. As always, thanks so much for tuning in, and listen for us next time, where we'll continue to take you behind the buy.